南無妙法蓮華経、南無妙法蓮華経、南無妙法蓮華経。Hi. I trust you are in good health this morning and secure. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your practice and your study. I was thinking this morning, I know, rare, huh? Yeah. Truth be known, I'm still drinking my coffee. I'm not sure I'm fully thinking, but at any rate, this 19th chapter, this teacher of the law chapter, I was thinking, I wonder how this read to Nietzsche. I wonder what went through Nietzsche's mind when Shakyamuni was addressing Everzealous directly. Bodhisattva Everzealous. And I thought, you know, duh, Sylvain, that's not the way to think about it. Obviously, Nietzsche took every word of Shakyamuni's teaching, especially of the Lotus Sutra, to heart. And I thought, you know, that's the way all of us should read, especially this sutra, that it's being spoken directly to us. Because it is. Especially now, since we've been introduced as the future bodhisattvas of the earth. Yeah, I thought, yeah, I should probably share that thought because I don't. We tend to think, and all the media we consume all comes through a window of some sort. TV, phone, whatever. I don't need to go on about that. You know what I'm talking about. There's a distance. And I don't know if that's because in our world today, and we can talk about evolution and politics and all that. But there's a certain claim to safety, right? If we can maintain this duality of self and other. And this is something Buddhism really, really focuses on breaking down. Because in our true mind, our true reality of all phenomena, right? You've heard these words. There really is no separation. We're all, and when I say we, I don't just mean you and I. I mean Jewel, my pet poodle. My guitars, this land that I'm living on, experiencing the trees, the birds I just heard. We're all instantiating moment to moment, doing exactly the same thing. We have different bundles of karma, bundles of energy, bundles of amalgams of energy. Atoms, molecules. See, if you break it down, the idea that we're all separate things is kind of ridiculous. And yet, there's all this myriad of variety of instantiations of this stuff, right? From you and me, to my guitars, to the birds, to the land, right? On and on and on and on. But in reality, and this is difficult to keep in mind, all of us are doing this thing together, this life together, this living, right, verb, together. Moment to moment to moment to moment to moment to moment. It's still... It doesn't blow my mind. It actually hurts my mind to try to conceive of this unmeasurably tiny thing, fraction of a second, which is a tiny thing, that is a moment, right? Buddhism reference. Look it up. I have it online, too. If you don't have Buddhism reference, yes, you can go to threefoldlotus.com. go to the Core Studies material page and you'll find a button there. I think it's called What is a Moment? Or maybe it just says Moment, and it has research. That's a longer description, I think, than what I put in Buddhism reference, but still. There it is. And so we'll go on with chapter 19. I don't know how much of it there is. I don't think we'll finish it today. Oh, we may. Let's get to it then, right? Further, ever zealous, if any good son or good daughter receives and keeps this sutra, either reads or recites or expounds or copies this sutra, that person will obtain 1,200 merits of the tongue. Now, we've talked about this before. It's not that your tongue becomes prettier or smoother. It's about the things the tongue does. Yes, taste might come first to mind to those of you who enjoy food. I certainly do. But it's more about, in terms of Buddhism, how we articulate our thoughts. Because the mind is always a part of these consciousnesses, yeah? The tongue consciousness speaks, makes words, makes noises, makes sounds, and tries, no matter how futilely, to communicate perceptions, epistemologies, thoughts, shared experiences in the mind. Tongue, incredibly important. In fact, the tongue, I would argue, also manifests itself in writing, because writing is just another form of capturing those same thoughts in words and articulating them via writing, right? Whatever pleasant or unpleasant, sweet or not sweet, bitter or astringent things meet this tongue will become the finest flavor like celestial nectar. In other words, all of these distinctions of these consciousnesses is this value judgment of good or bad. See, that's samsara. What happens in purifying these consciousnesses is that it's just a variety of experiences. It's not about good or bad, right? It's about the wild variety. Nothing will be unpleasant. It's just different. It's just amazing. If in the assembly he uses his organ of the tongue to teach, there it is, communication, yeah? It will send forth a profound and beautiful voice that can enter their hearts, giving them pleasure and joy. I could only hope. I don't like that word hope either, but it's my intent. And celestial sons and daughters, chakras, brahmas, and the universal realms of influence, hearing what this profound and beautiful voice proclaims and the order of this discourse, will all come and listen to you. Dragons also, and female dragons, yakshas and female yakshas, gandharvas and female gandharvas, asuras and female asuras, garudas and female garudas, kimnaras and female kimnaras, maharagas and female maharagas, will all come to hear the law, to approach, revere, and pay homage. Now, those sharp-eared amongst you, especially you ladies, yeah, it didn't fall deaf on me, on my partially purified ears, that he went through all the trouble of identifying female Garudas and the like, but it's taken for granted that Garudas are male. Again, this is just part of the cultural reality of misogyny, but you got to hand it to him. He took the time to really nail it, that this isn't just about you guys, right? They're good sons and good daughters. So there's this dividing line. That's a samsaric dividing line, men and women, right? It's about genitalia, for crying out loud. It's ridiculous. I mean, in a world of identity, which is what samsara is, yeah, you kind of expect that to be identified. But in terms of the mind, attitude and intent, enlightenment, bodhisattva work, shravaka work, prajnabuddha work, the mind has no sex. Now, I hear you arguing, yeah, but men's and women's minds don't work the same. I respect that there are differences, but those differences are just based on our freight trains of karma. And when you look at a freight train of karma, it's doing exactly the same thing, whether it's a man, a woman, a dog, a tree, a bird, a butterfly, a flower. Get that idea of sex identity. It's just an identity. It's a label. Get rid of it. It's not useful. Bhikshus also, and bhikshunis, upasakas, upasikas, kings and princes with their ministers and followers, minor wheel-rolling kings and great wheel-rolling kings with their seven treasures, again, seven treasures, and their thousand princes and their... What about the princesses? With their internal and external retinue, riding in their palatial chariots, will all come to listen to this law, right? There's not a male and female namo myoho renge kyo. Because this bodhisattva so excellently teaches the law, Brahmins, citizens, and the people in this country will follow, attend on, and pay homage to him to the end of their bodily life. Because we all want enlightenment. We all want to instantiate Buddha, yes? And anyone who provides us the tools and the inspiration to aspire is a valuable communicator, friend, right? A good friend. And Shravakas, Prachakabuddhas, Bodhisattvas, and Buddhas will always delight to see him. In whatever quarter this man abides, the Buddhas will all teach toward him, and he will be able to receive and keep all the Buddha law, and also to utter the profound and beautiful sound of the law, the sound of the law, myoho renge kyo. Namu myoho renge kyo, right? And when it says here, the Buddhas will all teach toward him, what do you think that means? Again, not a little floating lotus flower with a fat little jolly guy on it. It's not a gummy bear Buddha. Oh my God, I can't even believe I said that. It's your Buddha, your innate Buddha mind teaching toward you. Then the world-honored one, desiring to proclaim this teaching over again, what is it? Spoke thus in verse. Pure is this man's organ of the tongue, never receiving ill flavors. Whatsoever he eats, all becomes as nectar. With lovely voice, profound and pure, in the assembly he teaches the law. The a priori law, yes? With reasonings and parables, he leads on the minds of the living. All his hearers rejoice and make him the best of offerings. Universal realms of influence, dragons and yakshas, asuras and others, all with reverent minds, come in company to hear this law. If this teacher desires to make his lovely voice fill the 3,000-fold world, 3,000 realms, yes, he is able to will, at will, to achieve it. Great and minor wheel-rolling kings with their 1,000 princes and followers, with folded hands and reverent minds, constantly come to hear this law. Excuse me. Let me change that word. Lovely marker. Universal realms of influence. Dragons and yakshas, rakshasas, and pishakakas. Also with joyful mind, constantly rejoice to come and revere. Brahma and Mara, Ishvara and Maheshvara, and all such cosmic hosts. Come constantly to him. Buddhas and disciples, hearing the sound of his teaching, ever mind and protect him, at times revealing themselves to him. Further, ever zealous, if any good son or good daughter receives and keeps this sutra and either reads or recites or expounds or copies it, that person will obtain 800 merits of the body. So, let's see what he means by merits of the body. He will obtain a pure body, like pure crystal, which all the living delight to see. So all of you who've emailed me, made comments, asked about, how do I heal myself? Serious injury, slight injury, discomforts, whatever diseases or malformations, so on etc., of the samsaric body. Let's leave that samsaric, troubled area of suffering for a moment and consider what he just said. 800 merits of the body. You'll obtain a pure body, like pure crystal, which all the living delight to see. That's a big statement, yeah? But this is what you attain, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, when you instantiate Buddha and leave that samsaric bag of bull out the door. Realize who and what you really are. Because of the purity of this body, the living beings of the 3,000 great thousandfold world, as they are born or die, superior or inferior, fine or ugly, born in good or in bad conditions, all will be displayed in his body. Because none of it is good or bad, right? And Mount Iron Circle, Mount Great Iron Circle, Mount Meru, Mount Mahameru, and all the other royal mountains, and the living beings in them will all be displayed in this body. Downward to the Avicii Hell, upward to the summit of all existence, all things and living beings will be displayed in this body. Right? Sravakas, Prataka Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, and Buddhas teaching the law will all be displayed, display their forms and images in this body. See, this is what happens when you chant to instantiate Buddha. Not instantiation to fix my leg, make my nose prettier, so on. That's all samsaric bullcrap. It really, really, really is, because that's not you. You're identifying with what you're perceiving as lesser than errors. What does that mean to the momentum of energy that you are, that everything is? Right? Then the world-honored one, desiring to proclaim this teaching over again, spoke thus in verse. If anyone keeps the Law Flower Dharma Sutra, his body will be utterly pure as lapis lazuli. Now, I kind of want to make a poster of this. How long is this? Because this is the last vestige of attachment, isn't it? The body. If anyone keeps the Law Flower Dharma Sutra, his body will be utterly pure as that pure lapis lazuli. All the living will delight to see it. And as in a pure, bright mirror, every image is seen. The Bodhisattva in his pure body sees everything in the world. How many times have I said this? When the Buddha mind awakens, the samsaric mind gets out of the way. And when the Buddha mind awakens, every molecule, atom, particle in the cosmos becomes present, becomes part of the momentum of life. That is living. That is seeing as things truly are. There's no time for judgments and bad, good, and blah, 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 blah. There's just observation of this great engine of life. So overwhelming, so magnificent. Who has time to sit around, pick their nose, and analyze? Ugh. It's almost maddening. He himself alone sees clearly what others do not see. In a 3,000-fold world, all the common multitude, universal realms of influence, men, asuras, beings in hell, demons, animals, all such forms and images appear there in this body. The places of the universal realm of influence to the summit of all existence. The palaces, I mean, of the universal realms of influence to the summit of all existence. The Iron Circle, Meru, Mount Mahameru, great oceans and waters all appear in this body. Buddhas and Buddha sons, bodhisattvas, alone or teaching among the multitude, all appear in him or her. Though not yet possessed of the flawless priori spiritual body, the essence, I will say, of the engine of life, yet in this pure, ordinary body, everything is revealed. The entire cosmos. Do you get this? Further, ever zealous, if any good son or good daughter, after the extinction of the Tathagata, receives and keeps this sutra, or reads, or recites, or expounds, or copies it, he will obtain 1,200 merits of thought. Oh my goodness. What's going on in our minds? With this pure organ of thought, interesting organ of thought, interesting simile, on hearing even a single verse or sentence, he will penetrate its infinite and boundless meanings. Right? How often have we reminded ourselves as practitioners, if we hear from a building, another person, anywhere during our day, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, it's not just our ears that prick up. Yeah. Our mind just goes, whoa. It's happening over there. That's our Buddha mind, aware of the synchronicity, the oneness of all of life, the engine of life. Don't miss it, right? You can't. Having discerned those meanings, he will be able to teach on that single sentence or verse for a month, 4 months, even a year. And that which he teaches according to its several meanings will not be contrary to the truth. If he refers to popular classics, maxims for ruling the world, means of livelihood, and so forth, all will coincide with the true law. Now, you should be comforted by that, because what that says is, as you've heard me do and Nichiren do, he uses, Nichiren, the fables, stories, handed down histories of Chinese great battles and personages, not to laud those stories, but that they are a reflection of this teaching. Everything falls under Myoho Renge Kyo. Everything. It is the a priori law. Why wouldn't it? Just like the turtle in the hollow of a sandalwood log, or the turtle, sometimes a frog, sometimes something else, some kind of water and land reptile, and the scorpion. We all know that scorpion story, right? Give me a ride across the water. No, no, you're a scorpion. You'll kill me. No, 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 no. I promise I won't. I mean, why would I? We'd both drown. I don't want to die. Let's just go across the water. And when we get to the other side, yeah, what are you going to do then? I will give you time to return to the water, to safety, and I will go on my way. I don't know. You're a scorpion. Please, I beseech you. Okay, I'll give you a ride. Halfway across the water, what do you think happens? Scorpions pricks his host, whether it's a turtle, usually in the Buddhist stories it's a turtle, but sometimes a frog, whatever else. Why? Why would you do this? And what does the scorpion say? It's my nature. What a paltry excuse. Sorry, I got sidetracked, but know people's natures. Don't be a fool, right? Having discerned those meanings, he will be able to teach on that single sentence or verse for a month, 4 months, even a year, and that which he teaches according to its several meanings will not be contrary to the truth. Of course, because everything is Myoho Renge Kyo. So even if you're non-Buddhist and you tell these stories, you're really talking about the truth that Buddhism is about. The beings in the six destinies or of the 3,000 great thousandfold world, again, the 3,000 realms, right? whatever is passing through their minds, whatever are the movements of their minds, whatever arguments are diverting their minds, he knows them all. I know what you're thinking. Though such a one has not yet obtained faultless wisdom, yet his organ of thought will be pure like this. My goodness, I'm having trouble with this today. Okay. Whatever he ponders, estimates, and speaks, all will be the Buddha law, nothing but truth, and also that which former Buddhas have taught in the sutras. There's this consistency from beginning to end. You see it? Yeah, we recite it, but do we really know how profound its meaning is? The thought of this man is pure, lucid, acute, unturbid. By this priori Buddha-ness organ of thought, she knows all laws, high, low, and mean. Mean meaning the mean average, yes? On hearing a single verse, she penetrates its infinite meanings and orderly teaches them as law for a month, 4 months, or a year. All the living creatures of this world, within and without, universal realms of influence, dragons, human beings, yakshas, demons, spirits, others, those in the six destinations, whatever they may be thinking, in reward for keeping the law flower, myoho renge kyo, instantly she knows them all. The numberless Buddhas of the universe, with their hundreds of felicitous signs, who teach to all the living, she hears and retains in all. She ponders the infinite and teaches the law without limit, never forgets or mistakes or makes a mistake, because she keeps the law flower. Knowing the form of all laws, perceiving their ordered meaning, comprehending the terms and words, she explains them according to knowledge. Whatever this person teaches is the law of former Buddhas. And because she proclaims this law, she is fearless of the throng. Confidence, my friends, confidence, knowing with certainty, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. This is the Buddha way. This is the absolute truth. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. A keeper of the Law Flower Sutra has an organ of thought like this. That kind of conviction, that confidence, the resolve. Though not yet possessed of faultlessness, she has such a harbinger as this. This person, keeping this sutra, stands firm on a rare foundation. By all living beings, rejoiced in, beloved and reverenced, she is able, with thousands of myriads of kinds of skillful expressions, to interpret and teach to them through keeping the Law Flower Dharma Sutra. Myoho Renge Kyo. I have a little word here. Leading a life of unobstructed expression of all one's capacities and potential, as well as the purification of all consciousnesses, senses, for full experience of the life of the cosmos. This has the several purposes of recalling the Avatamsaka flower garland teaching, upmanship of the three lower or lesser vehicles. That's an interesting note. Now, that was directed to Everzealous. And obviously this translates to Nichiren's constant exhortation to us. Resolve, resolve, resolve. You can awaken your Buddha just with resolve. Demand your enlightenment. It's yours. Get up, you're late for school. Bust that door down. Go Hanzan mind. Kick it open. Buddha eye. I want it now. I want to experience Buddha now. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. That's what that chapter is about. Now, some think that as far as the Lotus Sutra goes, that's the final chapter. Don't need to go any further. But that's a jip. There's a lot more here. This next chapter, chapter 20, the Bodhisattva never despising or disparaging, as I've read it before. This is about attitude with others. So this 19th was about attitude with yourself and what you should expect to happen with your various Saha world manifestations, right? But now how do you carry that out in the Saha world? Bodhisattva never despising will be about that. And that's what we'll get into next time. Here in the Threefold Lotus Kwun, Quantum Life Buddhism, with little old me, Sifu Sylvain Chamberlain. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your support. Like, subscribe, buy ebooks, the bookstore, the mandala store. Get all the free stuff you can to build this confidence in your practice. The free stuff meaning all the info on threefoldlotus.com. The podcast, these videos. Use the search bar for keywords. Find everything you need to know. And if you don't, ask me about it. I'll either give you the link to the videos you need to see, or I'll answer it if it's not in there, which I kind of doubt because there's like thousands of videos on this channel now. So you have to use the search. You really do. Not the top search. That's YouTube. The middle search on the home page, right, with a little magnifying glass next to playlists about blah, 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 right? That's the last one. Put a keyword in there and get a result set. Instead of thousands, get, a handful. Get your questions answered because you don't want to let them linger and create doubt, laziness. No, you want to stay excited. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, right? Okay. So, keep yourself healthy. Dare to love yourself. I know, it's hard. But if you don't love yourself, how can you love anyone else? You're fooling yourself, right? Buddhism is about the mind, attitude, and intent. So make that healthy. Stay strong in your practice, and I'll see you in the next video. I absolutely promise. Bye for now.